Vibe.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, periodically during the summer, we check in with area lawmakers to see about what they are involved with. State Representative David Brock Smith on with us now. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
So, first of all, let's look back at the primary election, and I'm just curious your thoughts there. Any results that got your attention?
Well, I was happy to see, of course, Christine Drazen, our former House Republican leader, win the Republican primary. She is an incredible candidate for the Republican nominee for governor, and as you know, it is. She has taken the opportunity to have the National Republicans Governors Association looking at her candidacy as well. And with longtime Senate Democrat Betsy Johnson jumping in as kind of an independent, non-affiliated, it really gives an opportunity for the Democrats to have conservative Democrats to have somebody that to look at instead of Tina Kotek, who is about as progressive as they come, which gives an opportunity for a Republican governor. And that's why the National Republican Governor Association is looking at Christine's race here in Oregon.
Well, right now, of course, there's some early polling. It's a long time before we get to November, but so far it shows that three-way race to be extremely, statistically, almost a tie.
Well, with Christine up 2 points within the margin of error. But when it comes to the primary, as you originally asked, we have, of course, 60 House seats in the Oregon legislature, and we have 60 Republican candidates running in every single seat. And that is the first time that has happened since 2010. And as you remember, in 2010, we moved ahead and had a 30-30 split in the House after that election. And so, I think people are fed up with the gas prices that they're paying at the pump. I think folks, more importantly here at home, see the issues that we have, fighting government agencies and their overreach, and Kate Brown, Governor Brown, moving forward with cap and trade, trying to do it via executive order, which is just increasing costs across the board. And people are fed up. And so I'm excited about the opportunities ahead, but more importantly, locally for us, Kyle, I'm excited about building a great team with Senator Hurd and the Republican nominee, Virgil Osborne. Of course, Christine Goodwin is just south of Roseburg there, taking in, moving, because she's within District 4 that goes all the way down to Central Point. And then with my district changing, with redistricting, going all the way into the Douglas County Fairgrounds and taking in Winston and Green and parts of Roseburg, it's just a great opportunity. And I appreciate the chance to move forward and build that team.
Well, definitely that puts you more into parts of the Umpqua Valley, and it's interesting how these border lines get drawn, how it all shifted around. So a lot more of your district here in the county, and do you expect you'll be finding yourself over here more?
Oh, yes. I most definitely do. Definitely will be over there more. I'm there as not as often. Of course, I'm here in Port Orford. It's only a quick 2-hour drive over to Roseburg via 42, which is all my district. And I work for you, Kyle, and the people of my district. And it's just it always amazes me when I travel the the opportunities that await us. As I take the drive, it gives me a lot of time to think about how we can move forward with different things for our folks.
So talk about some of the current areas that you're focusing on this summer.
Well, of course, the offshore wind situation is a huge issue for the folks over here on the coast. I drafted the state planning bill and passed it in 2021 session, so that really our stakeholders would have an opportunity through the Oregon Department of Energy to engage in the state process and have their voices heard. Because without it, we would have just had the federal domination through the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and BOEM. And to that end, during the month of May, I, utilizing our colleagues in the Coastal Caucus, had six listening sessions from Brookings to Astoria, and I attended every one listening to the folks. And it was something amazing that I've rarely ever seen before, Kyle, where you had your environmental constituents talking about the same issues that your very conservative, folks were talking about in their concerns. And so we were able to then push BOEM to do a 60-day comment period rather than their normal 45. We actually had BOEM here to do public engagement with the director of BOEM. Here 2 weeks ago, which was fantastic. Something they haven't done before during their process this early on. So I think the pushback, if you will, in creating that public engagement has created an upswell of voices that was definitely necessary moving forward in this process. The other hand, of course, is the need that if any energy is created off of Oregon, that energy needs to come to Oregon. And to that end, the governor submitted her letter yesterday at the deadline. And we were able to make sure that there was language in there that said as much, right? So that we if we're losing fishing ground benefits, then we need to make sure that the energy benefit coming into the state is there for all of us. And then it's time now to move forward with the what they call the lease provisions and the discussions on if they are going to move forward with these lease areas, which we'll know later this fall if they are or not, what investments can come of those lease provisions as far as a mitigation fund for fishermen, investments in our local Southwest Oregon, including Roseburg, in our school systems to have workforce training for divers and so we can have local jobs come out of these 20 to 30 year, if not longer, projects that we're looking at off the coast. Now, it's always a big fight, right, Kyle, that for our communities to we graduate some brilliant kids, but we need to have the ability, and really a lot of the problem is the state agencies are in our way, but we need to have the ability to bring those kids back, if it's not the trade sectors, but with their degree, to have the opportunities to raise their own families in our communities here in rural Southwest Oregon.
Earlier this year, the State Fish and Wildlife Commission, if I've got that right, made a decision regarding the Rock Creek Hatchery. You jumped right in with some immediate feedback on that. Talk about what's gone on since then and where we're at now.
Well, thank you for that. And a big thank you to the tribes and the Douglas County Commissioners. Following that lawsuit and having that commission decision overturned so that program can, at least in those fish be released and that program to move forward, was brilliant. And I'm glad that we had the decision that we wanted. Listen, the commission, unfortunately, is out of control. As I've said previously, it's really unfortunate that our commissioner, who is the chair of the commission, is really not working for the constituents, but that of her other home in Portland. I'm glad that we were able to get that decision. In fact, I was over along with Virgil Osborne and our House Minority Leader Vicky Breeze Iverson, Christine Goodwin, Representative Goodwin, Representative Boomer Wright, and toured the Rock Creek Hatchery with ODF&W and their hatchery directors, Assistant Director Colbert. And we had a great tour. Then we also toured the Swanson Mill there. But we had a great tour, and investments need to occur. In fact, I just had a meeting today as I had a salmon credits bill basically looking to monetize our farmland, marginalized farmland adjacent to our salmon bearing streams, where we can look at habitat restoration, but monetizing and partnering with our farmers and ranchers. I just had a meeting earlier today about that, because I was able to create, even though the bill died, I was able to create a work group. Our fisheries are critical to our communities in Southwest Oregon, and it's a priority of mine to not only be able to move forward with creating habitat, but also stabilizing and our hatchery program. You have the commission that wants to take a hatchet to it, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, and especially when they do that, but they aren't doing anything about predation. And so I will continue with that. I have a hatchbox bill so we can get those hatchbox programs going. And I am full speed ahead on basically salmon recovery issues, offshore wind issues. We just had the grants go out for, I know I've talked on your show before about my state meat processing bill that I got passed back in the first special session of 2020. Those $2 million in grants that we were able to get in 2021, it went out. So we'll be able to see the benefits of those, and I'll be asking for more resources, because there was $14 million in asks, so that we can have more of our local ranchers be able to have their beef processed locally, to then be basically USDA stamped and sold in markets. Southwest Oregon, we raise some great cattle. You have your big processors, or 13 in the state, are booked out a year and a half in advance. To be able to have a local processor that does the cut and wrap for our 4-H kids, be able to have a ODA, USDA certified folk guy come in on a Wednesday, to be able to have a local rancher have those processed and stamped to be able to sell in your local market, will be a fantastic opportunity for everyone, especially with the cost of beef these days.
All right, more when we come back. State Representative David Brocksmith, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1249 on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1252, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt at 4 o'clock. State Representative David Brocksmith on with us now, covering a number of issues. We are a few days into fire season, already have had a few very small fires so far. What about the Oregon Department of Forestry? Are you happy with their level of funding? Do you think they're adequately funded for dealing with everything during this fire season?
No, not at all. And we pushed for more funding in the last legislative session. We did get quite a bit of funding with regards to the wildfire and state fire marshal through 762 and the wildfire planning bill. But we are always behind fire. And really, we know that the real problem, especially when you consider of the acres burned in Oregon on average, Kyle, 80% is burned on federal land. Of the 20% that's burned on private forest land, 15% of those fires are coming off federal land and burning on private forest land. And of the 5% that is burned on the private forest land, those fires are kept under 100 acres. And when you look at the environmental impact of those fires, I mean, look at the horrible fires that we had in Douglas County the year before last. And the fact that you aren't able to do any of the post-fire harvest, especially on that federal land, it really exposes the hypocrisy of the environmental for-profit nonprofits. Because, you know, if everything's about carbon sequestration and reducing our carbon footprint, then why aren't we taking that fiber, that tree that's decaying out there and releasing its stored carbon, which 50% of it is stored, well, that weight is stored carbon, putting it in a stick, sequestering it in a home. But more importantly, that is when it's replanted. And then you're able to replant across that landscape rather than allowing this underbrush that is just fire fuel to move forward. And so I am excited about the investments that occurred. To that end, Senator Hurd and I have partnered on building a wildfire training center just north of Gold Beach, which is going to be a fantastic opportunity moving forward to where actually we can train wildfire personnel in Oregon, which there is no other training center available. And in that training, they can be training in a state-of-the-art facility, but also boots on the ground in some of the most rugged terrain in burn scars, such as the Biscuit, the Chetco Bar, the Silver, where they can actually learn on-the-job training in Southwest Oregon. It's a fantastic opportunity, and I appreciate the senator for all of his work and help in making that a reality.
Looking ahead to the next session, are there any legislative concepts, some legislation, some ideas that you're working on?
Yes, sir. So my there's a not really a joke in my caucus, but my colleagues say, well, Brock Smith has a bill for that, because I do. You know, I mean, when we're a member of the minority, my philosophy is your opportunity to say and show how Republicans would govern if given the opportunity is to draft legislation. And so I draft more legislation than any other legislator in the state. And the reason is because that's the way, if we had, again, the opportunity to govern, we would. So a lot of my focus in the legislature, I'm the vice chair of Energy and Environment. I'm on the Natural Resources Committee, the Natural Resources Ways and Means Sub. I'm focused on, you know, everything natural resources. And so there'll be legislation, again, focusing on our predation of our salmonid species, creating the opportunity for salmon habitat, investing in our hatchery programs and getting more of our hatchery fish in the rivers, having the opportunities to look at our failed land use system in the state, especially for rural Oregon. I mean, Portland and the metro area, you know, because they have metro and that entity seems to be able to grow endlessly. But when it comes to rural Oregon's ability to create the workforce housing and the other housing opportunities that we need for our people, the land use system doesn't work for us. And so there'll be bills associated with looking at the opportunity for counties to have zoning capabilities that don't exist with regards to 1R and 2R. There'll be opportunities to look at also incentives for tax breaks with regards to building workforce housing for, you know, our teachers, our firemen, our mill workers and police officers, and really looking at that middle income folks, and then also more opportunities for tax incentives to invest like I did in 17 for lower income workforce housing as well.
All right, a lot going on. A check in there with State Representative David Brock Smith. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle, and thanks to all the people of Douglas County.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.